Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good Magazine. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. How to let go of little annoyances. How we deal with daily hassles can profoundly affect our health and relationships. Here's How to Do Better by Jill Suddy, March 24th, 2026. Recently, I woke to the blaring noise of our downstairs TV. My husband had been watching it the night before and had accidentally left it on pause rather than off. The sudden blast was startling and aggravating, especially since it's not the first time that it's happened. Minor annoyances like this happen all of the time in life. We're on a long hold with a customer service rep, forget our wallet at the store, stub our toe on an uneven surface, or find ourselves in a traffic jam. Whatever the cause, ourselves or someone else, these small hassles upset our peace of mind. While we can't avoid daily nuisances, we can change how we respond to them, and evidence suggests that we should. The way we react to annoyances can be more important than how many we actually face. If we don't know how to lessen the impacts, it hurts our personal well-being in the moment, and it can affect our long-term health and relationships. It's surprising, but research shows that daily hassles have as much and sometimes more effects than major life events on our well-being, says Melanie Greenberg, clinical psychologist and author of the book The Stress-Proof Brain. The likely reason for this is that major life events, like a divorce or death, are rare, while minor hassles can occur every day. Learning how to let go of our annoyance more easily is good for us and for others. Indeed, letting go can be an act of kindness to the people that we love. How daily hassles affect us. There's no such thing as a stress-free life, and that's a good thing. Moderate amounts of short-lived stress can help us to perform better and become more resilient. But if we characteristically react poorly to minor annoyances, if we let them get the best of us, it can affect our physical, mental, and social well-being. Feeling irritated sets off the release of stress hormones, like adrenaline and cortisol, that prepare our bodies to respond to danger. While not problematic in itself, a stress response that happens too frequently or doesn't dissipate quickly can cause wear and tear on our bodies and exhaust us. That's why daily annoyances may harm our well-being, lead to depression, worsen our long-term health, and decrease our overall life satisfaction. Less direct, but no less consequential, is how feelings of irritation can spill over into our relationships. If we're stressed out by minor things, we may react badly, says Greenberg, by saying the wrong thing or taking things the wrong way. If we're not calming to be around, people may not feel as close to us, she says, which could lessen the kind of social support we need for good health. Lashing out at others when we're annoyed is more likely to backfire than help make an irritating situation better. It can even be dangerous, like when our inability to curb our frustration over a reckless driver turns into road rage. Not taking out our frustration directly on other people can have social consequences too, though. For example, wallowing in a bad mood, muttering to ourselves, or slamming a door in frustration is bound to put people around us on edge. Even if those folks we don't interact with much, like the barista at your coffee shop, may read our tense body language and behave differently, says Greenberg. We humans react to the way others respond to us. So if we emanate a more chronically stressed out vibe, I think we'll get more stressed out or negative responses in return, says Greenberg. Trying to keep our irritation bottled up and letting it simmer isn't the answer either. Repressing our feelings stops us from recognizing what we need in the moment and can lead to disconnect from others, or worse, result in outward aggression. Luckily, there are better ways to handle everyday annoyances that protect us and the people around us from harm. How to handle annoyances more wisely. It's important to note that we can't always control how much we will experience hassles in life or how we'll respond to them. Individual differences in our age, gender, education, environment, genetics, and past experiences may all contribute to how many everyday annoyances we'll face and how we'll react in the moment. But even when our individual characteristics or experiences make annoyances harder to handle, there are tools we can use to soothe irritation before it creates more problems. Here are four suggestions for doing that. Number one, practice mindful acceptance. Mindful acceptance entails recognizing present thoughts and feelings and accepting them as they are. If we can mindfully tune into our bodies when faced with minor stressors, it can help us relax and manage the hard feelings better. At the first sign of going into an activated, stressed out state, you can pause and do a mindful check-in. Ground yourself, feel your feet on the ground, slow your breathing, says Greenberg. The earlier you catch yourself, the easier it is to do something about it. Research suggests that people who practice mindful awareness may be less triggered by everyday frustrations and better able to let them go. This can be helpful in our interpersonal interactions. When we're mindful, when we're present, we can soothe each other and connect. When we're in a state of stress, it's much harder to do that, says Greenberg. Two, reframe the little things. The second major technique is to reframe annoyances. Part of the reason a minor hassle can become more upsetting is that we overlay it with harmful interpretations. For example, if I take my husband's laps as a sign that he doesn't care about my feelings, I may become more upset than if I put it down to something innocuous, like fatigue and distraction. Not every annoyance, however, however it feels, is a personal affront. A lot of the stuff couples argue about is just stupid stuff, like replacing the toilet paper roll or how to load the dishwasher, says Greenberg. But it takes on this huge significance because of how they're seeing it as evidence that the person doesn't care about them or they're not being heard. Reframing is similar to a technique used in cognitive behavioral therapy, where patients are taught to question their negative interpretation of events and consider alternate explanations. While reframing won't change the annoying situation itself, it can help negative feelings dissipate more quickly. Another way we can reframe our experience is by seeing an annoyance as just an unavoidable facet of life, or small in the face of other concerns, says Greenberg. When triggered, she suggests asking ourselves, what's the big picture here? How important is this really, especially compared to everything else going on in my life? Is this something I even have control over? Asking questions like these help us to see our situation more objectively as a small blip that doesn't need to hijack our mood. Trying to take a step back and broaden our view can help us be like a fly on the wall, giving us a more distanced perspective, says Greenberg. Number 3, practice self-compassion and empathy. When things go wrong, we can sometimes be overly critical of ourselves. Greenberg warns about the problems with being perfectionistic and assuming the world will always run smoothly when it's just not realistic. Sometimes we're stressed out by the small stuff because we're being hard on ourselves, she said. Instead, taking a step back and telling yourself you don't have to do it all perfectly, that you're doing a pretty good job given all that you're facing, can calm the nervous system. Practicing self-compassion, being mindfully kind to ourselves, and recognizing our common humanity, where no one is perfect, can help us let go of perfectionism and manage our everyday hassles better, keeping us happier too. Similarly, we should remember that other people are also imperfect and need our empathy. For example, if a customer service person is keeping you on hold for a long time and you feel your frustration rising, you can try to think of the situation from their point of view. Maybe they're trying to solve your problem and it's taking more time than they thought. Perspective taking can go a long way toward diminishing our negative feelings in an annoying situation. And 4, don't forget the good and practice gratitude. Coping with hassles is always easier if we can keep in mind that there's also good happening around us. Yes, I picked the longest checkout line at the grocery store, but look at this amazing produce that I'm buying. Yes, I stubbed my toe on the bed frame, but at least it's not broken and I can still walk. Opening the lens of our experience and seeing what we can be grateful for can help take the sting out of common annoyances. If this seems too Pollyanna or trite, or is just too difficult to do in a moment of agitation, try practicing gratitude in the rest of your life. Having a grateful attitude can lessen the effect of daily hassles on our life satisfaction and improve your mood. This is likely because the positive feelings gratitude engenders helps us to broaden and build our personal resources for coping with common stressors when they arise. Letting go for the good of everyone. Of course, there are other ways we can manage our minor upsets better besides these. Taking good care of our bodies by eating right and getting enough exercise and sleep, heading out into nature when we can, practicing awe, and spending time with supportive people can all help keep our nervous system calmer and in better shape for managing daily stressors. Some tactics might work better than others for you, and that's fine. The key isn't perfection, but intent. The next time you're annoyed, try calming yourself rather than cursing for missing a tennis shot or tailing a slow driver, or stewing over your friend being late. Doing your best to let it go, using whatever tools work for you, is an act of love that others will appreciate. We're living in such very stressful times, antagonistic, hostile times, and people are under a lot of stress, says Greenberg. We need to try to think of ways, even just in our own network, to help people feel better. If we could do that, think of how much kinder and more loving our world would be. About the author. Jill Suddy, Doctor of Psychology, is Greater Good's former book review editor and now serves as a staff writer and contributing editor for the magazine. She received her doctorate of psychology from the University of San Francisco in 1998 and was a psychologist in private practice before coming to Greater Good. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. How to prepare for the unexpected. New research reveals that shifting between abstract and concrete thinking can help us prepare for unexpected events. By Dylan Walsh, March 27, 2026. Surprise parties, marriage proposals, sports upsets, bank collapses, military sneak attacks. Why do some unexpected events catch us completely off guard while others don't? For years, political scientists, security analysts, and financial gurus have tried to understand how information can be used to forecast what comes next, and through postmortems, diagnose why certain predictions fail. But psychologists who have deep expertise in emotions have not looked into this, says Nir Halevi, a professor of organizational behavior at Stanford's Graduate School of Business, GSB. I thought that perhaps we needed to join the conversation. Halevi and Stanford GSB research assistants Elizabeth McClough and Serena Lee immersed themselves in literature on strategic surprises. They found paper after paper about problems with the acquisition and use of information. Either available information was overlooked or the information on hand was inaccurate. But the research was missing a key consideration. What we realized by doing this was that so much attention is focused on the process of failure or ignoring signals or misinterpretation of the data, McLeod said. But nobody looked at how people were doing what they did, what they expected as they looked at information, how they structured these expectations or construed the situation. Into this gap, the researchers brought construal level theory, a psychological framework that rests on two key insights. First, people represent objects and events in the world around them along a sliding to concrete. Second, psychological distance from these objects and events, temporal distance, social distance, and spatial distance and uncertainty can shift how abstractly or concretely people think. Greater psychological distance tends to promote abstract thinking, while proximity promotes concrete thinking. Both approaches have unique blind spots. Applying this lens to strategic surprises, the researchers suggest that people and institutions can be caught off guard when they think too abstractly or too concretely about the information related to a particular situation. The quality of information matters, but so does the framework in which it is interpreted. Overly abstract thinking relies on broad schemas that can lead decision makers to poorly apply fitting mental models, misjudge possible threats or opportunities, or assume that other people will have behavior in stereotypical ways. Concrete thinking, on the other hand, involves being deeply immersed in the minutiae of a specific situation, which can lead people to ignore broad trends. Managing expectations. A CEO, for example, might focus in on a handful of tweets from a rival CEO, placing too much weight on these local signals while missing or misinterpreting the broader industry patterns, says Lee. Conversely, the CEO might look at the historical culture of a rival company and, based on this, assume its leadership will take a certain course of action that falls in line with this abstraction. Either approach on its own may be insufficient to avoid undesirable strategic surprises. Minimizing strategic surprises thus requires not only gathering the best available information, but also moving between concrete and abstract frames of mind when analyzing it. McLeod, who currently works at the consulting and training company Vantage Partners, noted that despite the high level of competence among her clients, they often find themselves surprised during negotiations, which leads them to inquire how to better collect and elicit information. Our paper shows that it oftentimes may not be about that, she says. You may simply need a team that is toggling between these different frames during a specific negotiation as a way to see more options. Or perhaps one team is tasked with thinking abstractly about a situation and another team thinks about it concretely. A range of exercises can help people move between abstract and concrete frames of mind. Consider why people engage in an activity, for instance, encourages abstract thinking, while considering how encourages concrete thinking. Thinking about possibilities in the more distant future engages abstract thinking, while generating ideas for the near future engages in concrete thinking. For example, when trying to anticipate a business rival's behavior, try to think of both what they might do tomorrow and what they might do next year. Halevi notes that these exercises should not be reserved for war games at the Pentagon or high-stakes decisions in corporate boardrooms. They hold value across a surprising number of domains. How might a film crew continue its work if several members resign? How will a collegiate sports team adapt if the competition shows up with an atypical lineup? Thinking strategically basically means reasoning about how our actions help or hurt other people in our lives. So every social situation is an opportunity to think strategically, Halevi says. Thinking about strategic surprises is not only for attorneys during litigation and PR teams in tech corporations thinking about the worst case scenario. Our brains constantly try to predict what lies ahead, preparing us for everyday social interactions at work, at home, and on the road. You've been listening to Greater Good Magazine, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day.